During the season of Advent, last Sunday, we were introduced again to John. John, the one who introduces us to Christ. And if we got the introduction last week, then this week we get John's preaching, his sharp, edgy, short preaching. But we also get the implications of what it means for those of us who expect to meet the Messiah when he comes. It's important, I think, to recognize, though, that the story of John, and indeed the story of Jesus, is set against the backdrop of the Roman occupation of Judea. And it's how sort of Luke introduces the story. He's going to tell us a story of some ordinary first century people and the story that's acted out against a violent, threatening world. Christ comes into the world, our world, this world, a world full of violence and tyranny and oppression and war. That's the world to which the Christ child comes. So Luke introduces this story by telling us about Tiberius Caesar. He's the successor to the great Caesar Augustus. And so he's around in the time of John. Tiberius, it's interesting to note, demurred from accepting the title God, which is what his father-in-law was called. He was called the Divine One, the God. And later on, we'll know that we'll get introduced to Tiberius's lackey, Pontius Pilate, and we'll get introduced to Herod, the governor of Judea. Herod the Jew, it's put in charge of Galilee. Pilate watched Herod, and Herod watched his own people, and none of them trusted any of them, all on behalf of Rome. That's the backdrop. When the word of the Lord comes to John, son of Zechariah, out in the wilderness, which is what we read last week. The word of God comes to John, son of Zechariah, out in the wilderness. But who's John? Who's Zechariah? We're accustomed to seeing names like Tiberius and Augustus and Herod and Pilate in the evening news, and historians can tell us about them. But who's Zechariah? Who's his son John, to whom the word of God comes? Or we could say the word of God happens to him. Maybe at least one of the reasons why we don't read about John or Zechariah is John's out in the wilderness. He's not in Jerusalem. He's not near the Sunday paper. He's not getting himself in the news. All he's doing is announcing that salvation is at hand. That all seems wonderful, except that the salvation of God is not the salvation we thought we wanted. First off, it's much more than something personal. It's cosmic. But salvation is announced by this wild-eyed, wild man in the margins, out there in the wilderness, a demanding preacher. He's the son of Zechariah. You can shorten John's short sermon even farther by simply saying, he just says, God's coming. That's what he announces. The Messiah is coming. God's anointed one is at hand. And John tells these vipers that come out, the people from the side, particularly in the other Gospels, he tells them to repent, to turn around. They're going the wrong way. Time to make a different decision. Time to get washed up. Time to get clean. Time to change one's life. To see with different eyes. To see with a different vision the world and what God is about to do in it. Jesus is coming, John declares. It's time to get washed. It's time to repent. God's coming. You better turn around. But we say, but yes, if God's coming, but nobody's ever seen God. In fact, that's a pretty consistent testimony of Scripture. Nobody's ever seen God. In fact, isn't God by definition distant, invisible? That which of nothing greater can be conceived, as one medieval theologian put it. Or even Isaiah, who says, you are a God who hides yourself. Okay, God is elusive, distant, hidden, unapproachable, perhaps even unknowable. Even poor Moses up Mount Sinai, terrified because he almost, maybe sort of, got a glimpse of God. And all that seems, in some sense, true. Or it's at least true until the advent of Jesus. The advent is that season of the year where we come to terms with the stunning sort of affirmation, God has come to us. In the babe born in Bethlehem, we discover that God is available now, present now. That God now has a name and a face, and it's Jesus, God with us. In his incarnation, God refused to be coy, to stay at a distance. The great, grand, unapproachable, unknowable has come to us, took on our flesh, dwelt there among us. And so all four Sundays in Advent tell this great mystery. God's coming to us, has come to us. So then why does John preach that it's time to get ready? It's time to get washed up, get clean, change one's life. Why? Because at last we will now see God face to face. And yet what we see, what we behold, completely rearranges what we think of, if we think of a distant God. Jesus is not for us some sort of great moral example or a nice friend. We declare that he's nothing short of being God. What Jesus says is what God wants most to say to us. What Jesus does is what God most wants to do to us. As Scripture says of the baby from Bethlehem, in him the fullness of God dwells. Maybe nobody's ever seen God, at least till Jesus shows up. Jesus is for us the full, sufficient revelation of what God is up to. In a second century sermon, one of my favorites, and I think I've quoted it before, Melito of Sardis, he says, he who hung up the earth is himself hung up. He who fixed the heavens in place is himself fixed on the cross. He who fastened everything in the world is himself fastened to the wood. For the master has been reviled, and God has been killed. God has come to us, and we reject him. The grand, great mystery that reveals God coming to us in the flesh has, for John at least, in John's preaching, has some pretty profound, seemingly basic, ethical implications. So he tells these vipers that have come out, it's time to change your ways, it's time to get washed up, it's time to get clean, and by the way, here's some things you can do. This is the bit in the sermon where I'm supposed to talk about stewardship, because we're doing stewardship awfully late at Lutheran Memorial this year. It's in the middle of Advent. But I'm not sure it can be said any better than John's preaching. John, out there in the wilderness, out there, says, if you want to greet the Messiah, if you want to see the hidden God in the flesh, then you want to pay attention to what you do with your money. Pay attention to how you interact with others. Pay attention to how it is you give yourself and your things away. Pay attention to your life. Be willing to change the direction to which you are headed and go a different way. John seems to be saying, it's time to get ready. Follow the Messiah now. Be ready when he comes. He's coming at an unexpected hour. And that may be why, when all is said and done, despite John's sharp, kind of edgy sort of preaching, Luke calls it good news. He calls it gospel. For he declares that the hidden has been now revealed. The powerful have been brought down. The lowly have been lifted up. And that the incarnation of God, the good news message, does not come to Tiberius or Augustus or Herod or Pilate. But we know where the story is going. It will be revealed to shepherds and maids and fortune tellers and sheep. And that's good news. That's glorious news. The hidden one has been revealed, God in the flesh. That's worth getting cleaned up for. That's worth turning around and seeing with new eyes. Amen.